Today, we are continuing our study of the Gospel of Mark. This Gospel begins as Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God is near. One of the signs of the kingdom of God is healing. When John the Baptist's disciples ask Jesus if he is the Messiah, Jesus responds, "Go back to John and report what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Jesus has, in an earlier part of the Gospel of Mark, healed a man with leprosy by touching him. The man was regarded as unclean. The passage we are studying today describes a spiritual healing of an unclean man living in a Gentile area. We worship a God, dear friends, who loves all people unconditionally. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of this life, your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may perceive healing as a sign of the kingdom of God and receive healing from Jesus. May we also reflect the compassion and love of Jesus to all people whom we encounter. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. To understand this passage we are studying today, it helps also to know the preceding passage. And so in this prior passage, Jesus and the disciples decided to take a boat to cross to the other side of the water. And a fierce storm came up. High waves are breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. So imagine that. There's this high waves, wind, and Jesus is peacefully sleeping. He is at peace. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is a turning point for the disciples as they begin to realize Jesus is no ordinary teacher or prophet. Some of the disciples made their living on boats as fishermen, and they were afraid of this storm. The elements of nature, wind and waves, obey Jesus. The sea was regarded by the people at that time as chaos. It symbolized chaos, and yet it becomes calm at Jesus' command. And so with that information, let us now study this passage. It begins with, "So they arrive at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain." Jesus and the disciples have gone to a Gentile area. Now, the Gentiles are regarded as unclean by the Jewish people, and they wouldn't eat food with the Gentiles. They wouldn't even go into a Gentile home. And so they enter into this area. The man is possessed by an evil spirit, and he comes from the tombs. He lived in the burial caves. This would be appalling to a Jewish person. The dead and graveyards were regarded as ritually unclean. Now, there's ritual impurity and moral impurity. So ritual impurity is different. Ritual impurity results from one's contact with birth, death, and blood, as well as skin diseases and funguses. Contact with these natural substances renders one impure and temporarily unable to enter the temple or encounter sacred objects. So consequently, people exposed to ritual impurity are isolated from others. Ritual impurity, it's not sinful, it's not moral impurity. So a tomb was not a place where a Jewish religious leader would be unless the leader was burying a loved one and then had to engage in purification steps to return to society and to worship in the temple. Now, Jesus, as we've seen and will continue to see as we study the Gospels, Jesus goes into places that were unclean. Jesus dines with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus healed a person with leprosy, as I mentioned, by touching the man, and the man was regarded as unclean. You don't touch somebody who's unclean, and yet Jesus does. Jesus demonstrates compassion for the untouchable, unlovable people. That's the God we worship. And may we also have this compassion that's demonstrated by Jesus. The story goes on. Whenever he was put in chains, of course, meaning the man, and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. The evil spirit has deprived the man of his basic humanity. He's shackled by the community people. He has lost the means of human communication. He howls. He's inflicting self-harm upon himself. Now, remember, people are made in the image of God, and this evil spirit is attacking the man's reflection of the image of God. As we look at people, may we remember that they are made in the image of God, regardless of their appearance and behavior, and see God in them. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. The man bowed low before Jesus because he knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He acknowledged that Jesus has power. But he did not bow before Jesus as an act of worship. He is acknowledging his power, and the evil spirits know that they are not more powerful than the one who is standing before them. With a shriek, the man screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." So the evil spirit is speaking through the man. Jesus has commanded the evil spirit to come out. And consequently, the evil spirit is asking Jesus why he's interfering with the evil spirit and asks Jesus not to torture him. Again, he's acknowledging that Jesus has power and authority. Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Now, when Mark indicates that the evil spirit's name is Legion, he may be negatively, indirectly referencing the Roman soldiers occupying Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. A Roman legion consisted of over 2,000 soldiers. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. The evil spirits understood that Jesus has the power to send them away. They begged Jesus not to send them to a distant place, which they feared could be a place of destruction, their destruction. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." Now, the presence of pigs again confirms this is a Gentile area, because pigs were regarded as unclean, and the Jewish people did not eat meat from pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the hillside and into the lake and drowned in the water. The pigs and the evil spirits drowned into the lake and plunged there. The pigs, as well as the evil spirits, were destroyed. Now, the number of pigs in the entire herd was approximately 2,000, which is, again, the number of soldiers in the Roman legion. that would be occupying a specific territory. Mark may be suggesting that Jesus has the power to destroy the Imperial Roman Empire. The evil spirits were oppressing the man and seeking to destroy him, and the Roman Empire was oppressing the Jewish people. The herdsmen, the pigs' herdsmen, fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed to see what happened. Now, the pigs' herdsmen witnessed the pigs running off the cliff and plunging into the lake and drowning. This was an extraordinary event. They're afraid. They're concerned. And so they run to tell people. And the people, in turn, rush to investigate this extraordinary event. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Now, Jesus has healed the demon-possessed man. Again, he's fully clothed, he's sane. And so Jesus has also restored the man's human nature. He has his humanity back. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Rather than rejoicing that the demon-possessed man is healed, the people are concerned. They're afraid. They may have been concerned because there was significant financial loss with 2,000 pigs drowned. So they plead with Jesus to leave them alone. Dear friends, with blessing of healing, there was loss. And we have to contemplate, are we willing to embrace blessings that have loss associated with them? There are times when we get blessed with something, but we need to let go of something else. And that's definitely the case that the people here in this story have encountered. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." Jesus has restored the man's humanity. The man now has shalom, which means both peace and wholeness from Jesus. Now, of course, the man wanted to be with Jesus. And of course, he begged Jesus to allow him to accompany him. Jesus offered the man complete healing by instructing him to go home to his family. He stopped being an outcast living in the tombs. The man has received spiritual healing, and now Jesus is offering him relational healing to go home to his family. We worship a God who values relationships. Our God is relational, three persons in one, Blessed Trinity. And God has created us to be in relationship with God and with each other. The passage concludes, "So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them." Now the man was instructed to tell his family everything that the Lord has done for him and how merciful the Lord was. So the man has exceeded these instructions by telling everyone in the region about the great things that Jesus had done. This man is probably the first evangelist to the Gentiles. I mean, we think of Paul as being the first, but actually this man is probably the first. He's just running all around that area saying, "Look at me, I'm healed. I'm the guy that was howling. I'm the guy that was trying to kill myself. I'm the guy who was possessed, and I'm now healthy." And everyone's amazed at what he's telling them. Dear friends, may we also tell others about the blessings that God has given us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for everything, but we especially thank you for the healing that you've given us. And we thank you for the blessings. We are mindful that we are blessed to be a blessing to others for your sake. And so we ask that you help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.